Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of It's About Bravo. I'm Maddie.
I'm Annie.
And we are doing a girls only on the main. We have had me and Annie before on Patreon, but this is the first time we're on the main pod, just us two girls. The boys are taking over BravoCon. They are in Vegas.
Yeah, I think that Reed, as we speak, is out on the Vegas Strip in some tight panties, prostituting himself to get some BravoCon tickets. So.
They are working for their BravoCon tickets. Hopefully, we'll get some content from them. Obviously, you guys know Modesto and his partner are dressing a few Bravo Lebs, so they have that going on. But they don't have tickets to anything. So Reed, Mo, Coulson, and Zach are just going off vibes. They do have a hotel room. Yeah. So hopefully either they get in or we don't know what's happening with them.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we do have a lot to go over. We have four new franchises of Housewives on right now. So let's do a quick.
That's my opinion.
All right, guys. So this, my opinion is going to be pretty short. Unless you've lived under a rock, you probably know there's a Vanity Fair article that dropped. They were teasing it for a while. That was supposed to be like basically take down Bravo and take down all the franchises with it. And yeah. It was kind of a flop. Like, Oh, Sonia Pease in the bed. Like, we knew that.
Yeah.
It was just all like little things we knew. But there was one thing that kind of came out that is still spiraling, and it's about Ramona Singer. It comes.
So,
yeah, you take it over, Annie.
This is the whole kind of reality reckoning. I think this is like her, I think this is Bethany's like, main ending.
This is her passion project.
Yeah. So she thought this was going to be like a big ass deal. But yeah, I was very upset with the reading of the excerpts of like, this housewife like peed herself and she was so drunk. And, you know, I'm like, what else is new? Like, and then I love how they always in reality TV shows will be like, the house was stocked with liquor when we arrived. It's like, yeah, it's a vacation home. You probably requested that it was stocked. Really don't feel sorry for you. And then the next morning she was like, whoever this housewife is, we think it's probably Sonia, was like not wanting to film, like not wanting to do her job. And I feel like, and then they, you know, they talk about it as if it's a bad thing that they like gave her like a shot to make her feel better. And like, we're like, you're fine. Like, you know, gave her fluids and stuff. And honestly, I just have to say, I would love it when I'm hungover if my bosses would come and give me like an IV drip. I'd be like, this is amazing. I mean,
right?
Honestly, I'm jealous. The work conditions sound really great over there at Bravo. So I wish I was a part of that.
Yeah, there was supposed to be a reality reckoning, like you said, but it really seemed to just be on focus on Real Housewives of New York. The main people like mentioned were Bethany, Leah, Ebony, and I think those are like the three main ones.
They're the only ones that talked.
Yeah. I want to touch a little bit just on the alcohol of it all. Like that's what they were saying. They were never set up for success because there's alcohol all around them. They were being forced to drink a lot of stuff like that. But then somebody pointed out on Twitter, and I wish I had the person's name to give credit to, but Candy has been sober on every single season of Real Housewives of Atlanta. And she maybe takes a shot here or there, but she's been fine. So it's like, come on, girls. It's a little bit more than just that.
Yeah, they want to drink. I mean, and they are adults and no one's, even if someone, by the way, even if someone hands you a drink, like I was going to say, no one's like putting the drink in their hands, but I'm like, even if someone did hand you a drink, you'd be like, oh, thank you. And then you can drink it or you can't. Like, it's like,
yeah.
That's a party. You know, if someone hands you a drink, you say, thank you. And you don't
put it back down or you, yeah, it's,
yeah.
That, so nothing that dropped out of that was really relevant. Relevance. I'm like, yeah. What word am I trying to say? Nothing that dropped is really of relevance other than.
I think you were thinking of the Leonardo DiCaprio movie Revenant.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking of. No, but really anything that dropped, nothing really shook the table. But then some little seeds came out about Ramona being a little bit ignorant and, dare I say, a racist.
Well, and that shook me to my core.
It's like, Maddie.
I was like, what? This is some tea.
The lady that called the people that worked in the house the help is a racist. Yeah.
I'm shocked. But what I think the most shocking thing, and it's again not even really shocking, but just I don't know, surprising, I guess, that she's just this dumb about her racism. Is that when Page Six reached out to her to comment on said accusation, she was accused of using the N-word in the presence of a Black crew member. Okay. This was years ago that it was the accusation, whatever. And when they reached out to her, not on a phone call, but via text message. So there is this in writing.
There's receipts. Yeah.
She then used the slur again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to even explain it because it's just so much of, she didn't say N-word, but she said N-word. Like, it's just, it's hard to kind of like recap.
Well, I'll just say what it is. I'll just say what it is.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just kidding.
Oh. I'm like, ah.
No, but she literally responded in a text message and said, like, I didn't say this, I said that. And it's like, girl.
Yeah,
like,
and then the text messages leaked.
Yeah.
I guess what they thought this article was going to be, it was going to be way bigger than it is. I guess the only really fallout is Ramona is no longer invited to BravoCon.
Yeah.
He was asked.
Honestly,
to
she's on the same playing field as Reed right now. That's embarrassing.
Ramona and Reed both not going to BravoCon. I do think that I'm wondering if this changes like legacy, because we know the Morocco trip that has the women from Alex McCord and Brandy Glanville, and all of that drama with Caroline Manzo has been shoved, and they were going to just push the Roni legacy ultimate girls trip that has Ramona on it into the slot for this winter.
So I didn't even hear that. Like, I knew about all the drama, but I thought they were still going to show that Caroline Manzo trip.
I think they still are, but they said it was pushed and they were just going to, that was technically going to be, instead of season 4, it was going to be season 5. But now I'm not sure what's going to happen, because if Ramona's being uninvited to BravoCon, are they really going to like show her in this Ultimate Girls trip? It's a lot,
I feel like anything that's filmed, before is like fair game, especially like in Bravo's eyes, if that makes sense. I mean, honestly, they can just, I'm just kind of guessing that they're going to put like a disclaimer at the beginning of the season. Like, this was all filmed before this text message.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly.
But who knows? I mean, I just feel like they've been so much money and time into all of this. Like, I just don't see them like not showing it. And you know what? One thing about those Ramona stans, they don't give a fuck. Like,
they really don't. People don't. There's been multiple times, especially when I go through rewatches, where I'm like, how is this allowed? And how has she been able to continue on the show and have such a legacy? But I mean, I can even, like, I can take a little blame for that. She's been gone for our screens for so long. I was looking forward to seeing her again. I'm like, I kind of miss the chaotic Ramona.
Same.
So
I never thought I would say that. I mean, when I first started watching these shows, which, you know, was at the beginning of quarantine, it took me a while to understand when people would say that they liked certain people. I didn't get it. I was like, what, how do you like this person? And it took me a while to kind of learn that it's like being a good housewife doesn't mean you're like
a good person.
Good person. I mean, I know that too, but it's just like that she's so irritating. She's so annoying. She's so mean. She's so wrong. You know, like all the time. I put her, Vicky Gumbelson, Mary Cosby, like those types of women who I just like, you know, I really can't get it. Cause I'm just like on a real life level, I just can't understand like hanging out with this person, I guess.
Yes.
But I did towards the end start to realize what she brought to the show. And even like there was my husband doesn't watch. He like tries to boycott it as much as he can, even though we live in a very small New York apartment. He does it avoiding it as much as he possibly can. But he was in the room one time when I was watching an episode and he was like, oh, is it just like a couple people being really crazy and then they pan out to everyone's reactions? And I was like, sometimes, yeah. And like Ramona is that. Like she says this crazy stuff and it creates the best drama surrounding her. I hate when people say that she's funny. That is a pet peeve of mine, just because I'm like, well, she's not intentionally funny. She's not
turtle
like
time.
Yeah. She's not like a comedy queen. Like we're laughing at her, bitch, not with her, you know? But yeah, no, I get it. I mean, the drama that ensued surrounding her was always great. But yeah, I don't know what's going to happen.
TBD, I guess, on that. Yeah. Yeah. So that's really all we have to cover. And that's my opinion. Let's jump into the premiere of The Real Housewives of Miami.
I'm the Cuban doll and Miami is my dream house.
I don't need to keep score because I'm always winning.
Hard times are temporary, but I'll be fabulous forever.
My life is like a song and I always sing with pride.
Take me off my throne and I'll bring down the kingdom.
Don't let the private plane fool you. This girl always stays grounded. I really wanted to have a fresh start, you know, with each and every one of you. I know for some of us, it's going to take us more time than others. But the fact that we're all here tonight and you all showed up, thank you, Marisol, because I know it's difficult for you.
I'm actually surprised to see you here, Marisol. You didn't want to be here tonight.
Alexia called me crying that Todd wasn't coming. She said, I need you.
Because I feel I'm here to also heal my best friend, but you are here to harm your best friend.
Julia, you're saying weird shit. I'm trying to harm Alexia. Alexia, please speak. Come on.
Sometimes, you know, I feel like you have to fight your own battle.
Right now, I really need you, my friend, to step in.
You had this selfish attitude of putting, in my opinion, selfish attitude, to put Alexia, who is your best friend, in this impossible situation where she had to choose.
Trust me, no one controls Alexia, especially not
you
me.
You said you're not going to be here tonight if Adriana is here, and now you're here.
Julia, por favor.
You crawled back here when you heard that we are all moving on.
To crawl here. This is my best friend's house. I'm invited here before all of you.
Excuse me.
We're trying to get along, Julia. You're making it bad.
I know what you do. You dick shit on people.
I thought we were going to have a great night.
Okay, before we get into the premiere episode of it all, let's take a look at these taglines. So we just played them for you, but they're kind of eating all the girls up, if I do say so myself. Like, they are putting Salt Lake City, even Potomac, a little to shame. So, as like, obviously, we just played them, but few top contenders for me. I love Alexia's. I'm the Cuban doll, and Miami is my dream house.
Yes.
Which kind of slays because isn't she having like house problems this season?
Yeah, relevant, great, yes. Funny. Even if she wasn't having house problems, like, I still think we all get it. Yeah.
I think Lisa's is my number one fave. Just, it's take me off my throne and I'll bring down the kingdom, because obviously, everything with her divorce and getting separated and maybe losing the home. Like, she's taking him down.
Yeah, love it.
And then my girl, Dr. Nicole. I love Nicole. Like,
she
could do no wrong in my eyes. Hers is, don't let the private plane fool you. This girl always stays grounded.
I love that shit.
Yeah. And, like, the private plane, like, chef's kiss. Yeah. Yeah. The only one I'll say that I'm not like, oh, Larsa's is amazing too. I don't need to keep score because I'm always winning.
I love that basketball reference. She's so messy.
She's so messy. She's just so... The only one I don't, like, love is Julia's.
It's
because
weird.
It doesn't make sense to me. My life is
a song. Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is?
What? Do you get it?
I was just thinking, like, I don't know why she's doing the song thing, because Adriana is the singer, quote singer.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's always speaking for her best friend, Adriana. So that actually makes sense. I feel like that was going to be Adriana's tagline if
but
she
But because
was,
she's a friend of. Julia's like, I've got
don't
the
Don't worry,
tagline.
Don't worry. I'll speak for you.
Yeah. She just put pride in there since she's a lesbian.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Oh, Gertie's. We didn't mention Gertie's.
Well, go on.
Hard times are temporary, but I'll be fabulous forever. Which,
that's wholesome. That's, I like that.
It is wholesome. All right. So now that we've kind of discussed that, first thoughts on the episode. Were you gagging as much as I was?
No.
Oh, see, there's something about Miami that, like, I just love. Like, they start off and they're in $25 million home, and then they have the yachts, and then it's the beautiful sun, and it's so colorful. Like,
the way they film it is so pretty.
That's it's exactly cinematic. What it is.
It's cinematic. If I do say so myself, I really do. I love it. No, I love. Listen, here's the thing. I love Miami, and I know that I'm gonna be loving this season. I'm just saying that it wasn't like
it wasn't Salt Lake City.
It was just like, I don't mind. I'd also don't mind a premiere that's like a little bit slower. I mean, they did a good job, but I think there was a few things that were kind of, they're teeing it up, you know?
Yeah, exactly. They're like laying down the bricks for the rest of the season.
Yeah. And I'm not mad about that.
No, me either. And I'm loving the like start of how Alexia wanted the season to go. She's like, okay, we're all getting together and we're having a party and it's to new beginnings, because I'm like, that's exactly what it needs to be, because I don't need us talking about New York in quotes for the whole season. I hate that.
Right. I think I'm hoping they got that out of their system.
That's what I'm really hoping too. Like, I hope the new drama can just be the drama. Like, I hate when they're constantly like referencing New York.
But they were referencing a lot of past stuff, like in this episode. And mm-hmm. so, like I said, I hope that's kind of it and we can move on. I mean, you know, Adriana likes to always go back, but like, I think that, yeah, I was actually impressed.
I love that you're calling her Adriana. Isn't it Adriana?
No. It's spelled Adriana,
but they always say Adriana.
I think, but they say it both ways. It's kind of like,
Julia says Adriana, but I believe like,
I think that she pronounces it Adriana, but I think that it's kind of like Sanya over on Atlanta.
Yeah. It's like whatever no one, you want.
She just lets them go back and forth with it. Yeah. I think when you have a name that's like often pronounced wrong, you kind of just like let it slide.
Well, and so many of them have thick accents. Like even Julia's accent is way different than Alexia's, but they both have heavy accents. So yeah.
Well, it's going to change. I think in her native language that's pronounced Adriana, but she's probably just gotten so used to like Americans calling her Adriana that she just doesn't really correct them. But I don't know. That's just speculation.
Well, anyway, Adriana does hold on to things. So does Marisol. Like they both are big hold on grudges, which is like so frustrating. But at the same time, at least they're bringing it because I need a little bit of that.
The two friends up, by the way, they always bring so much for a friend up.
They really do. In the beginning of the episode, how were you feeling about Lisa as a boyfriend being like on camera right away?
It's concerning to me.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, weird that he's like willing to film so much. Different if it was just on the date with Larsa and Marcus Jordan, whatever.
That's a good question.
Yes. Anyway,
Jordan. Let's just call him Jordan Jr. because that's what I see.
Literally. So it would be different if it was just that date, but then he was like prepping her for court. And at first I'm like, this is so sweet because she does need someone. But even in her confessional, she said like, I maybe lean on him a little bit too much. And I'm like, girl, that's how you got yourself in this situation. Like,
yeah,
you gave everything to the man. Like you need to have a little bit of your own self.
Yeah. Yeah. Like IRL, it concerns me. And like, just, I mean, you know, RIP, but Bethany, like when she was on the show, she mentioned that when she, like after she had the whole Justin Hoppy thing, that everyone she dated after that, she was like, anyone that seems like they're interested in like me being on the Housewives and like wants to be a part of it, that's who I don't want. Cause that's like a huge red flag for me right off the bat. And I think that's a really good kind of rule that everyone should probably go by. I think after you've been together for a while, then this is your job. And
yeah. That's what I was going to say. It's a hard line to walk because it's like, okay, you need to show your life. You need to have people on, but like, are they too invested? I'm not comparing him to Louis yet, but I'm afraid because Louis, you know, loves being on the camera. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I just hope it's not like that. I hope maybe this was just the first episode and he was getting his feet wet being like by her side, but hopefully he'll taper out.
He seems nice.
He does seem nice, and I want her to be happy, but she just reminds me of those girls that always have a boyfriend, or like they get out of a serious relationship. They were just in an 8-year relationship, and like 6 months later, they're dating someone else.
Yeah.
I'm like, let's pump the brakes. Yes, Lenny moved on, but he's a piece of trash. Like,
Those Facetune photos with his girlfriend really get
his
me.
Girlfriend is scary looking. I'm sorry. I'll say it.
Well, that's not what she really looks like. So who knows what she
really looks like. Yeah, I'm like, what does she look like?
Nobody knows. She hasn't been seen in public for 5 years.
Literally. I also want to mention just Dr. Nicole being the richest bitch.
Yeah.
Like, you want to feel poor, just watch her. Like, they bought a $21.5 million home.
Yeah.
The location of it. The boat parked outside.
Mm-hmm.
And they're living in another vacation home that's like, Architectural Digest like would eat mm-hmm. up. Like, I'm just like, mm-hmm. wow, you live like this.
If you want to see rich, look at her reaction to her Dior bag getting burnt up. Like, it wasn't
it's the first time I wore it.
Her Dior bag. Like, she wasn't even that upset. I also, like, if Mo's not here and he would be really upset with me if I didn't mention this, Gertie had a Kurt Geiger bag. And it was in the kind of background of the shot when they zoomed into Nicole's Dior bag having like the burnt handle. And it said on the bottom of the screen, Dior bag, $6,500. And I really wish they would have zoomed into Gertie's bag in the background and been shady and been like, this bag, Kurt Geiger, $65.
I don't even know what Kurt Geiger is. I was about to Google.
It's $65.
Okay, work. Okay, like less than Coach.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you knew that, because I was like, where
I knew that. I know that Mo would know that. I know that he would be really mad if I didn't mention it.
Yeah. No, their money is every single house. When they like go to each person's clip, I'm like, they have money. They have money. Even Julia and Martina with their goats. I'm like, why does a goat have a diaper on? Why are we?
And goats are expensive.
They are. And then she's drinking a smoothie out of a martini glass. I was like, okay, classy.
Yeah. I love Alexia's home. I never get over it.
Same, but what is the drama with her home in real life? Is she getting evicted? Isn't that the tea?
You know that I don't look at spoilers, so I don't have any idea. And I'm going to wait and watch it play out.
Do you think it's going to, I don't know if it's playing out in the season or if it was just like an article, but yeah.
No, she brought it up in the coming up on the season thing.
Okay. So we will see what's going on with that. Also love to hear that Martina's diagnosis, like, she's cancer free as of now. Yes. She's still obviously healing.
Yes.
But kind of brings you to like what's going on with Gertie. Now we know as audience that she's been diagnosed with cancer because
what? I didn't know that.
So we know because of everything she posts and all the girls.
Yes.
But I'm wondering, when is she gonna tell everybody? Because
she almost told Larsa. You could tell she was about to say it,
which was so weird that it was going to be Larsa, because Nicole, jumping straight ahead, knew right away there was something up with Gertie. She's like, what's going on? She's like, why, who told you? She's like, nobody told me. I can tell, like, what's going on? And the fact that she felt almost more comfortable about to tell Larsa than Nicole, I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah, it that was a weird moment for sure. And I understand like Larsa's confusion too. She was like, what is this? It was a weird shift, but I feel like she was like thinking that she was going to tell her. I don't know exactly what was going on in her mind, but Nicole was like, I'm a doctor. I know exactly what's happening right now.
Yeah. I do kind of love that when Gertie first went to her with like, oh, they need to get a biopsy. She's like, oh, were you on your period? It could have been this. It could have been this. And I'm like, I sometimes forget. Like, I obviously know she's a doctor, but I sometimes forget. And then when she puts that doctor hat on, I'm like,
wow. She's so hot.
She's so hot. Like, how are you smart and hot? Yeah. That's fair.
And rich.
And, like, she literally is the whole package. Fine. I'll marry her.
She has it all. And I think, like, Nicole, if you're listening, do you want to have a threesome? Because we're here.
She's like, no, you poor bitches.
But I do love her tagline, going back to that, too, because it's so true. She really is the richest one, but she really is, like, the most down-to-earth one and, like, makes the most sense. I love it. It's so great.
She is, like, she's got that normal, like, head on her shoulders. She can get a little crazy and, like, shady, but she's got that head on her shoulders. Well, I feel like... Oh.
Sorry.
No.
No, no,
you go.
I don't know if we, you know, you go. No. I don't know if we knew this beforehand, because again, I try to like not look at like spoilers, but just today she announced that she's pregnant.
Yeah, we didn't know that. So yeah, she's having a baby number two, which I'm very excited about. Is the other baby's with her husband too, or a fiance, right? Yes.
I don't know. Well, you know, you never know, because you know that she slept with like the entire hospital.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
No one knows. But
no one has any idea. I was going to say, let's get into like the meat of it all. The Alexia's party, which had even drama going towards it. I love, she wasn't going to invite Adriana, whatever we're calling her. She wasn't going to invite her. And Julia kind of expressed, like, I think if you're having a new beginnings or a new whatever party, she needs to be there.
Because I was really shocked that Julia wanted to stand up for Adriana. That was weird to me.
Yeah, so out of the blue. Yeah. But I do love that it, like, for some reason, like, Alexia took it to heart. And then she did have a lunch with her. And I thought the lunch went pretty good.
Despite their outfits, yes, it went okay.
I'm sorry, that was so camp. She was waving a white flag and she was wearing, like, peace on her bra. Like, the peace sign was all over her bra.
You know I hate a prop.
I love it. I loved it. But seeing that conversation, I'm like, okay, yes, I'm loving this, because that means the storyline can move forward. And then when Marisol made the comment that she almost didn't come because of it.
Yeah.
I was like, girl, you're a friend of. Show up. Are you going to have another scene to show up in? This is when you need to show up. And you need to show up for your friend, which I'm going all over the place. I hated that Todd did not want to be there.
That was weird to me, because why were they making such a big deal out of it though? Like, he didn't want to be there because he didn't want to talk about his Instagram video.
His 9-minute long Instagram apology. Like, you posted
that, he was embarrassed about his Instagram video, you guys. Like, that's why he didn't want to be there. It wasn't like some sort of like riff in their relationship. Like, why was she playing that up like it was some big deal?
But I think she was more annoyed at the fact because everyone's husbands came. Like, even little Jordan was there. Throwing up some hoops.
And he was, like, honestly, for sure, like, upstairs in their bedroom, just, like, watching TV.
Yeah. He was still in the house. He was just not with everybody. Yeah. But Julia really came to play in this. So they're all sitting down, and Julia's like, Marisol, you didn't even want to be here. Like, why are you even here? And it just kicks off. This, my favorite part of this was the husband just slowly getting up. Anthony's like, I have to go to the bathroom. Marcus is like, you know what? I have to go to the bathroom.
That was so cute. We, as women, know that very well, that you go to the bathroom together at parties.
Yeah. The boys are just like, let's all go.
They just flipped the script and they were like, we're going to go to the bathroom together and take mirror selfies and just tell each other how pretty we are.
Literally. So you had that going on. And then you also had Larsa and Gertie kind of going at it with the fake comment. This is one thing that always bugs me about housewives. They take vocabulary so seriously. I'm not fake. Okay, she probably didn't mean fake. She probably meant you were a bitch. She probably meant Larsa's literally. A bitch. Well, but instead of saying bitch, she said fake. And now you're honed in on that word because you're not fake. And it's like, Larsa, have you looked in the mirror? You kind of are a little fake.
I was like, can we just talk about the fact that maybe she just meant her plastic surgery? Like, I just feel like that. Like, we're all thinking it. Like, maybe that's what she didn't want to admit it. So she, like, doubled down on something different. I will say I do a lover of words and vocabulary and grammar. Like, I do sometimes get caught up on words where I would be like, if I was Gertie, I would just say what you said. I would just say, I didn't mean you were fake. You just were, like, pissing me off. Because, like, Larsa's not really fake other than her appearance. Her personality, she does kind of say shit pretty much to your face. And so, it wasn't the right word. But that's what I'm saying. If I was Gertie, I would have just been like, I just was mad at you and you were being mean to me. Like,
yeah. It became too big of a thing. But I do agree that maybe them at the ending was, like, foreshadowing them having, like, a better friendship. So I think they should be good on that end of it. I did
You really didn't watch the coming up this season, did you?
I didn't. I was split on time.
TV goes to the next.
It does. You know, when if you watch Peacock, it'll play the next. And the next thing they were playing was the Beverly Hills episode, and I had to catch up, so I just hit play. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Well. So, okay, I messed up. Apparently, they're fighting.
It's okay.
All good. We need fighting. We need housewives of it all. And I do think all of these women come to play. Like, Larsa straight up going to Gertie, Julia calling out Marisol. That's one thing about Miami. Even if it's the littlest thing, they'll argue about it and make a big drama, which I love. And I love to hear them gossip. And my favorite thing is the Spanglish of it all. Them going in and out of speaking Spanish and English.
I love when Marisol gets mad. She goes, por favor.
She's like, Julia, por favor.
I love it.
It's so good. Also, before this wraps, I have to mention Larsa and Cardi B beefing.
What?
Cardi B? My notes just say, now why is Cardi B in it?
I don't know. Cardi B is a wacko.
Like, is she watching Housewives? How does she know that Larsa said she has sex 4 times in a night?
That was on the, reunion, but they might have just been like a
clip that went viral
or something. But also, Cardi B was on reality TV. That's how she got started.
That's true. Maybe she's just a Housewife fan.
Maybe.
She's calling out Larsa.
Yeah. But that's slut shaming? What?
I'm like, can we get Cardi B as a friend up, please? Show up at a dinner and just walk in.
Oh my God. She wouldn't say anything. She would just like go,
And I would eat it up.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so overall, I think really good premiere. It wasn't jaw dropping, but
it was good.
Ladies, they laid the groundwork. They all updated us on where they're at in their life. And I do feel like it's going to be a good season overall. Do you have anything else to add?
I don't think so. I'm really excited. I love Miami. I really do.
I love Miami. Okay, well, let's go from one rich franchise to another and get into the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Something.
Oh, you want to tell me something?
You're not going to like it.
Tell me.
I got tattoos.
I'm okay.
You are?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Where is my son? What do you mean? Didn't you do a tattoo for
Mauricio? Am I putting his name? No.
That's a jinx anyway.
That's a jinx.
No, no, I don't believe in that.
Okay.
Anyway. Yeah. Okay. Well, now 0-1
And I know that also the girl's got one.
Yeah.
Like an 18.
Do you know your son has one?
No.
Does he?
Uh-oh.
Maybe he does. I don't know. I'm kidding.
Can we do cake?
Let's do this.
I told your mom you have a tattoo.
What is wrong with you?
She doesn't care.
But still, why would I not be allowed to do that? What is that up with that?
Okay, guys, we're lighting this.
She meant the tattoo on me. So then I said, maybe you don't. I said, I don't know for sure. Now you're mad at me. I mean, and then I realized she meant him. And I said, oh, I don't know. He has one. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know.
So you said that or you said yeah.
Okay, so The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is a show on Bravo. I'm just kidding.
Oh, you hate it.
I don't hate it. I'm not gagging. And that's,
But you never gagged, and that's a weird thing.
I gagged in the beginning.
All right.
I was gagging in the beginning.
I would certainly hope so.
I just think I'm a little, it's hard with the storyline about Mauricio and Kyle, just because we know what's going on in real life. And so I think it's kind of hard to watch that back.
Okay. I mean, I have a whole thing about that, but I feel like we don't need to dive all the way into that right away.
No, we can start off a little slower.
I'll go. Yes.
I was going to say, I could talk about that for 45 minutes. Pull over. Yes. Let me talk.
That's mostly what we're going to talk about. Okay.
Yeah. Because what else is really going on? I do like that Erica and Dorit met up because they're part of the Fox Force 5. They need to be besties.
Yeah, they are besties. That's the other thing too. I think that a lot of people for the last few years have been like, why is there such an alliance? Why are they defending so-and-so and blah, blah, blah. And everyone's like been acting like it's like this phenomenon. And I'm like, you guys, I think that the actual real answer that you guys don't want to hear is that they're
friends.
Like,
that's it. Yes.
Like, is their actual friend as well? And they would go and hang out outside of filming all the time. Same with Teddy. Y'all don't want to hear this, but like, that's their actual friend. So when you see them hanging out, not filming, like, I think it was just genuine. I think that when people weren't calling out Erica, it wasn't because of some alliance. It's because
they're friends.
They're friends. Like, it's
exactly.
There's no explanation for it. And I think that because time has gone on and things have gotten so weird with Housewives, and especially with like this new season of Roni, which we'll get into later, but like kind of these artificial friendships that are made, I think that people have kind of forgotten that there still are some people on these shows that are legitimately friends and actually hang out and love each other. And much as you don't like these women like each other, and that's the fact. So
exactly. And there's some like, I hate when people are like, oh, well, they didn't know each other before the show. And it's like, did you know some of your coworkers before you started working with them? No.
Yeah.
And they become some of your best friends because you're working with them all the time. And
they've been coworkers for like 7 years now. Like, get over it.
Yeah. So even if they weren't like besties, they're still like good enough friends. But yeah,
Mo and I have been working together for like, I don't know, like maybe 2 years, and we're best friends.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, you work with them all the time. You're talking all the time, especially on these shows. They're going on trips together. Even if they're just coworkers, they're going to form a bond out of anything. So I'm glad that they kind of are getting back on the right path. I thought Erica looked great. Even though they both had sunglasses on in that scene, I thought they both were giving in her little Miu Miu jacket. I'm like, wow, it's so nice to be that rich.
Yes. They always bring the looks.
Always. I do want to talk about Sutton getting a matchmaker.
Okay. Please talk about that. Before you say that, though, I just have to point something out that someone mentioned in like a comment or something on social media that Sutton sounds just like Awkwafina. And I cannot.
Now I need to like go re-listen to clips.
I cannot unhear it. It's actually uncanny.
Oh my God. I need to go listen to clips because I probably... Now it'll be stuck in my head as well.
Yes.
I just think it's so funny that like so far since she's been on, it's all about like finding a date. Like she went on dates last season too. And I'm like, I kind of feel bad for her because she's like, there's never a second date. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I hate to say like, it's you.
Yeah. Yes, it's definitely you. Garcelle made a very good point. She has no game. How the hell did she get these kids? How the hell did she get that husband? How did she get all this money? She got all this money from being married. Like, I don't know what she was doing earlier in life, but she has no game. I mean, even on this show, like she has no game. Like she's the most awkward person. She always has been. she, I mean, I have like a hot take about her. People love her. I think that she creates good TV because she is weird and doesn't know what to say. And so she says some stuff that we were all thinking, but there was a reason, I think, why the rest of the cast was kind of shocked by her calling out Erica, because we as viewers wanted her to call out Erica. But like in a real friend group, like we just talked about, these are, I don't think you say those things out loud. Like, I don't, like, imagine if I was accused of a crime, like, tomorrow. Yeah. You wouldn't be like, Annie, I think you did it.
No, no.
If I was like, you guys, I didn't do it. I'm being framed. I have no idea. I'm so sad. I might go to jail. My cats are going to be alone. I'm like, you wouldn't be like, I don't know. Did you do it? Like,
that's exactly it. And I also think this kind of be kind of crazy. She's a little kind of has little Mary Cosby in her.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They're like, yeah, very just like say what's on their mind. Don't really mm-hmm. give a fuck what else is going around them, and kind of just like have those off comment remarks where we.
But then she goes,
oh, that's funny. Yeah, she does have a little bit of more of a soul.
You can see that she didn't mean to say it type of thing.
Yeah.
Like, imagine her on a first date. Like, yikes.
It's got to be bad. It's got to be bad. But if this matchmaker works for her, like, maybe I'll hit her up, because it's getting lonely out there, guys.
Oh, Maddie, if she can help Sutton, you're going to be married to a billionaire by the end of the year. Like, honestly.
Literally, I need to. Give me her number. Let me look her up real quick.
This is going to be a really great advertisement if she can pull this off. It's going to be like the lawyer who got OJ Simpson off. Like, if you can get this murderer off, you can get anyone off.
That's exactly it. Oh my God. Also going into this episode, the Dorit and Kyle scene, let's talk about the Kyle and Mauricio, because we're going to have to get into it a little bit here. Because do you think now, I think in Beverly Hills, which is one of the reasons maybe I don't like it, is because they broke the fourth wall years ago when LVP was still on. There mm-hmm. goes our fucking storyline, you know? Mm-hmm. So I do think they get together before the season and kind of talk about how things will be laid out.
Yeah.
I had a feeling almost when Dorit was asking Kyle about her relationship, it was planned.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. When that original There Goes Our Storyline thing happened, I feel like that was actually one of those like iconic moments where they hadn't been breaking the fourth wall a ton in Real Housewives before that. It's only cool if it happens every once in a blue moon.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so that time it was like cool. Now that the curtain's been pulled back, I think I hate that we have to kind of mention it or
assume.
Think about it.
Yeah.
I do think a lot of this is breaking the fourth wall because well, I love Mauricio and I really want to believe that this is fake for the cameras, because I thought their love was like one of the few like relationships on these shows that was genuine and real. So I'm sad about that. I kind of want it to all be fake. Even if it's not though, I will tell you there's a certain amount of this that does feel manufactured to me for this reason. Okay. A couple reasons.
Yeah.
I think that, okay, the first episode, they had a conversation where they were kind of annoyed with each other. Like, I was like, listen, you've been married for 30 years, whatever. They've had these conversations all the time. It's not a mm-hmm. weird thing. That was not a weird conversation. None of this was weird. It's not uncommon for marriages to have these conversations. You don't love, or you love each other all the time, but you don't like each other all the time. You get annoyed with each other. Like, that's very common.
Yeah.
I feel like they've had those conversations on camera before as well, but it just didn't make it into the show because the story that we were being shown was their good marriage. So they probably had these combos before that there was cameras there for, but like the story producers are telling us, this is the relationship that we want you to root for and love. And
yeah, that makes sense.
With. And the relationship that we want you to not root for is like Erica and Tom this season or so-and-so. So it's like, even Harry Hamlin and Lisa Rinna, I'm sure that they had arguments on screen, but they didn't show it to us because they were
that wasn't the story.
Yeah, that's not the story. So now they're showing us these little teeny tiny things that are honestly in real life very minute and not important in a marriage, honestly. Mm-hmm. But
like, just, oh, you're bickering. Like, that's normal.
Oh, you're bickering. Like, they're just kind of pushing it. And so I'm like, this is inauthentic in that way. And I also, I feel like, I don't know, even with them doing a lot of paparazzi stuff, like leading up to the premiere, I thought that was a little fishy.
Yeah.
the fact that like the day before the premiere broke, like there was paparazzi shots of Maurizio and his dance partner
holding hands. Yeah.
Paparazzi shots of Morgan Wade and Kyle. Like the timing, it does feel a little bit fishy for whatever reason. And it might all be true, but I'm just saying like there, it does seem like there's a story being
That's exactly what it might be true, but the way they're going about it is just coming out very like manipulated. Like even Dorit in the car asking Kyle, like they're going on a lunch. Dorit thinks they're going on a lunch date, just her and Kyle. And she's like, oh, how are you, Mauricio? It just felt very inorganic, if that makes sense. Like it just felt like
Dorit
was like, oh, I'm going to push. And then at the very end, she's like, Kyle, if I ever bring anything up and you don't want to talk about it, just tell me you don't want to talk about it. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, I hate to say this to, again, break the fourth wall, but there are also times where, okay, so there's editors and they're the ones that like edit the scenes, I believe. And then there's story producers. I actually have a friend that does that on New Jersey. That's her job. She's a story producer. That's different. So that they kind of decide what scenes we see and when we see them.
Yeah.
You're kind of the ones who I said, like, decide like what's on the cutting room floor. Like, and there are times where things are filmed maybe even later in the season that we're seeing sooner to try to build something up. I mean, I'm just not sure, but there is just something about the building up to this, because we all know how it's going to end. So they kind of have to throw these little nuggets in there. And the confessionals to me also seem a little bit inorganic as well, because it's like cut to Kyle being like, oh no, he's so angry at me for that. I shouldn't have brought it up. And it's like, you know, she films that months and months later. So I'm like,
yeah,
not really how you felt in the moment. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that kind of came out with the Vanity Fair article that we talked about. And that's my opinion. They talked about how at the end of every filming day, they will get a written like script basically of what happened. Like they'll send it to Andy, and then Andy will kind of give feedback. Okay, we need to amp this part up. We need to do this. So I totally believe that now
it's not fake.
Yeah.
It's
manipulated a bit.
She said this about you. Do you want to bring it up? Like maybe like, and then it's not like they're forced, but I think it's just more like, it's kind of like a friend stirring up drama where if I were to come to you, oh, speaking of that, I actually have something to tell you. Reed was talking shit about you the other day. And so I just wanted to get your reaction about it. What do you think about Reed? Are you mad at him? Like, I feel like I feel like you're mad at him.
No, that's exactly what they do. And it's just, it's crazy though, because if we talk about like showing a little bit, so we know, cause we know what's happening at the end, you know, giving us those little clips. For some reason, a few seasons ago when it was all about Erica and Tom and we knew how it ended, I didn't mind those little like clippets of like, her talking about the marriage going bad or talking about, like, I didn't mind that for this. I don't know. It just seems too contrived for me and I'm just not enjoying it. What I did enjoy is PK basically calling Dorit a prostitute. Loved that. Favorite part.
Yeah, that was so weird. And I mean, Pretty Woman is such a weird movie to begin with. I know it's a classic, but like, have you seen it?
Yeah. My aunt made me watch it when I lived with her, cause she was like, it is such a great movie. And what I got out of the movie was I should get into being a prostitute.
It really glamorizes prostitution.
Or sex work or whatever. I don't want to get canceled, but I was like, I should be a sex worker.
Yeah.
You can meet the man of your dreams if you're doing it.
And the man is really weird and creepy. Like, why would he invite this girl over to stay with him? It's a weird movie. It's a very weird movie.
To celebrate your anniversary.
It was, that was great though. And very campy and very them. And they're so like cringy and weird, but they're meant for each other. I feel like that makes sense.
I loved it. It was just funny when Dorit was literally freaking out about like everything. She like called. I thought that was so cute though. She called the kids and Jagger's like, mommy, we know. Mommy, we're in on it.
Those kids are so cute.
They are the cutest. That's why they can never get broken up, because I just need that family to stay intact forever.
I don't like it. And Kyle's kids are really cute too. And when Portia walked down the stairs, you guys, I swear to God, I thought it was one of the other ones, the older ones.
How was she 15?
I'm sick. Remember when she was little and she had the curly, like Shirley Temple
hair? She was calling Lisa Vanderpump to invite her to her birthday party.
Oh my God.
I used to, like, when I first watched My Beverly Hills, I would text the group chat and be like, okay, I think Portia's my favorite kid ever on Beverly Hills. Like, on all franchises. But then I watched Atlanta and I was like, okay, no, baby Aiden, Phaedra's kid. I was like, those two are just the cutest kids that have ever been on Bravo.
Yeah.
And now they're like grown up. It's so weird.
It's sickening. It's sickening. Going back a little bit to the kind of showing us a lot to kind of allude to what's happening, it just reminded me of something that's a really good example. Vanderpump Rules this last season. You know that all of those moments that were just tiny moments with Raquel, that people were saying how Raquel, breakout star, I'm like, Raquel would not have been featured in this season nearly as much. If we didn't know it was going to happen. They ended up going back and re-editing it. The story producers went back and did all this stuff that they weren't going to show, all these little moments that, that had her in it, and putting it all in there after they know the ending. So this is the kind of same type of thing where they're,
yeah, for sure.
You know, we know they've gone back and they've literally taken every tiny minute bickering that Kyle and Maurizio had, or every, you don't think that like the women have always had combos of like, oh, I'm having a rough time with my husband right now. We're kind of a little disconnected. Like that also happens. I will tell you, like in a married life, like that also happens where you're like maybe having like a month that's like a little bit disconnected, or your schedules are off. Like you talk to your friends about it and you're like, oh, our schedules are a little off right now. That's not weird. I'm sure that it's happened before, but now they're showing us every little bit of it. So, you know, we'll see, but I would love to believe that this is all fabricated only just because I would be mad. I would be enraged as a fan of the show, but as a fan of Kyle Maurizio's marriage, I would love that.
Yeah, I do think it's the latter. I think they're over, but it's just kind of funny how they're showing it. Should we jump to Portia's 15th quinceañera themed birthday?
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about most of it.
The tattoo of it all. I have to bring up the tattoo of it all.
Yeah.
Because how ridiculous. How old is Mauricio? 50s.
I don't know. Far too old. I mean,
to worry about what his parents think about him getting a tattoo.
I'm almost.
Is it like a religious thing? Because he's Jewish?
I don't think so. I don't know. But I would say that I'm more like surprised by Kyle caring that her in-laws know that she has a tattoo, if that makes sense. Like, but I also, at the same time, I mean, they're a lot older than us, but I'm 31. And I mean, my mom knows that I have tattoos, but she doesn't like it. Like,
but yeah, my mom doesn't like that I have tattoos either.
But I don't care.
Yeah.
You know?
I wouldn't hide it from her, though. I wouldn't be like, oh no, my mom can't know.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. It's weird. You're like grown as fuck.
It was so weird. And Kyle threw him under the bus on purpose. Like, she does not like him right now. She got joy out of it. She was like, oh, I told.
I don't know. I felt like she immediately kind of retracted it. She was like, oh, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, because then she was like, shit, what did I do?
Yeah, I didn't think it was that big of a deal. This is what I'm talking about. I feel like they edited it
to make it seem.
Feel that it was a big deal, but I just don't think it was that big of a deal. Yeah. Oh, I also felt a little bit robbed when they had this scene where he said, I don't want to talk about that right now. You know, they put that in like the trailer and it was supposed to be like this big moment.
And it was about
a tattoo.
Yeah. Okay. They're grasping at straws.
Yeah.
I will say I'm so excited to see how this Vegas trip plans out. I'm glad we got a little bit of it in and it wasn't
Did you watch the next time on?
Yes. I actually did watch this one because I had nothing else to go. And it looks like it's going to pop off. But yes. I didn't have to say when these women showed up to that hotel room that has a pool in it.
Ugh, rich bitch.
I literally texted my aunt. I was like, watching Beverly Hills. We need to go to Vegas like this. Like, yes. What are we? I'm like, I've never seen anything like that before.
I'm assuming that Reed and Mo and Zach are having the same experience.
That's exactly what their hotel room is.
I'm just assuming that. Yeah.
They got the Crystal birthday special.
Yes. I hope so.
It's kind of crazy. And this is probably going to sound mean. It is going to sound mean. I'm saying it. It's not like Crystal's listening to the pod. It's not like, it's not like Mo's going to dress Crystal. So he can't get mad. I just think she looks so mom-like. I don't think she looks old, but she dresses like such a mom. When she had that dinner with her brother and her husband, I'm like, she just looks so matronly.
It's
like, she's not trendy at all. And she has so much money.
She's almost like too trendy, if that makes sense. Like she's almost
she's always wearing J. Crew.
I don't know if I can explain this, but it feels like, okay, so like in the fashion world, like trendy is kind of like not the best word, actually.
You know what I mean? Because it goes in and out.
Yeah, you're like those paper bag leather pants. Like,
yeah,
those leather pants. Like, those were on trend for a moment, And then,
jealous of what? Your ugly leather pants?
Yes. And then I think that, you know, then you have to get rid of them. And so it's kind of like, if you're going to know the trends, you got to know when to pack those bitches up and donate.
Yeah.
Them. You know, like,
I do like that point of it. She's almost like, she's on trend, but from like for years ago.
Yeah. And like, also I feel like she's like wore this with a badge of honor to be like, I don't need,
don't care about labels
and muscles, and I don't need to use a stylist or like do all this and blah, 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 blah. I'd rather spend my money elsewhere. And she owns it in a way that she's like proud of it. And I'm like, okay, but baby girl, like, can you just step it up a little bit?
Yeah. We don't need you in couture. We don't need you in weird couture, like Sutton.
Not even glam. She has great skin and she looks beautiful, but just an outfit.
No, she's got great face and great hair, but her outfit just makes her look older than she is.
Yeah.
And she has got a hot body. Remember they talked about that a few seasons ago? She has the big boobs, like a tiny waist. I don't need her in Erica's outfits, but I would just like her in something a little bit more youthful, I guess. Yeah.
I agree with
you. Take on that.
You need to step it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And you actually have to even spend like millions on your wardrobe, but do hire a stylist because we can do the looks for less if you want, bitch.
Yeah. Cause she always is like trying to be like a frugal queen. You can still be frugal and look nice. Look at me.
She's not
right now, but
by the way, she's in stuff that's like, I don't know, like, you know, $300 pants, $300 top, like a $600 dress. It's not like cheap. She's not shopping at Zara, but like she could look nicer on that budget.
Yeah. Exactly. Maybe she'll like pop out with a cute birthday outfit. She is bringing glam to Vegas.
She is.
Yeah. Did you not see that scene in they were in the car on the way to the hotel. Oh. And I think it was Garcelle, Dorit and Crystal. And Garcelle goes, did you bring glam? And Dorit goes, no. And Crystal goes, I did. And she's like, what?
No, I missed that one part, but it's monumental to me.
Yeah. She brought glam. So maybe she'll like turn up a look for the Magic Mike show.
Oh,
we get next episode. The next episode looks juicy as shit. I can't wait to see the fighting, even though Erica did give up fighting for Lent. So who knows if she'll be in it.
Lent is really going to ruin this show for us, bitch.
Like, give up something different, like candy or Ozempic.
Yeah. You like, know, she's not giving up that, bitch.
No, she ain't giving up Ozempic. That's too much of a challenge.
Her grave clutching that bottle of Ozempic.
Yeah, literally. So I do, overall, I'm excited for more of the next episode than I have been for Beverly Hills, because I think we're finally going to get...
celebrate that.
Well, let's celebrate that. All right, Annie, do you have anything else on the Beverly Hills before we move on?
No, I don't want to talk forever. I'm done.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, do you want to go on you want to talk more about Kyle and Mauricio? We can't.
It's okay. I think I said it.
Okay, perfect. All right. Well, let's get into the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Did you just call me a mother? Called you a mother? Look at this pretty dessert.
That's not a dessert, that's guacamole.
Guacamole, whatever, appetizer. Are you gonna eat?
I don't feel like it right now.
We have had our issues in the past, but we both have to be willing to be vulnerable with each other. And when you're ready, we can sit down and figure out where did this start? Where did this start?
My childhood.
All right, let's start there. You'll excuse me. I thought there has to be some aspirin around here. I thought I put aspirin in my bag.
Okay, so this episode of Salt Lake City, of course we have more Monica drama. Of course, of course, of course. Why would we not? Every single week, it comes and goes. But one thing that also rang prevalent in this episode, a lot of snow scenes. They're really taking advantage of the winter there.
Did you see when they had zoomed into someone walking their dog on a ski?
Oh, I missed that.
It was a very brief moment. I said, you guys, shut the fuck up.
Like, it was so much. And I'm like, I love snow like that. Like real snow. Like none of this, like I feel like we get fake bullshit in Chicago and New York. Maybe we have a few snow days, but nothing like that. I was living for all that content.
It doesn't stick to the ground the way that it does. It doesn't stick to the ground the way that it does in these areas.
Yeah. No, it was like perfect. Even there was a snowstorm even when Mary and Whitney finally got together for lunch.
That's fitting.
That would have made me cancel. Like, I'm shocked that Mary still showed up with the snow.
I think that's probably just kind of common. I mean.
Yeah, I guess that's true because they live there. I didn't think about that.
Although, after hearing about Meredith's accident, I probably would not have gone out for a while.
It's dangerous out there.
Yeah, dangerous. Yeah.
I want to get into that lunch because what the hell did we watch, Whitney and Mary? Do we think, I'm going to reel it back to like season one. Do we think they were ever really friends?
No.
Because Whitney takes everything such to heart. And I'm like, this girl does not, Mary is not your friend. She's never been your friend.
Okay. Can I say something?
No.
I think that, oh, okay. I think that because of Whitney's drunkenness at times, that she just gets a little bit carried away with her emotions. Okay. There was some times in the past where she was like, Mary, I love you, girl. I love you. You know, and it was just like, do you, or are you just drunk?
Yeah. I feel like she's always thought that she has a better friendship with Mary than she does. And that's why she got so hurt with like the little girl comment.
The first season, that was the narrative that they were pushing on us, was that Mary would call Whitney from her closet and say, what's going on? And Whitney would give her little updates like on the phone. And mm-hmm. Whitney and Mary were the only ones that were kind of communicating. So that was like the narrative. And I think that that was the narrative that the showrunner's story
wanted us to see.
First having us see. And I think that Whitney just kind of like fed into that like a viewer would, and forgot that, hey, we're not real friends. Like, and
like,
I think
they
that,
don't even have anything in common. Like, Mary is holier than thou, mm-hmm. and Whitney rides a stripper
Mary
pole.
Doesn't have anything in common with anybody. Like,
hello.
I mean, I made a note because her husband was like, why are you talking to Mary Cosby? And I was like, said everyone all the time, everywhere. Like, why is everyone Mary Cosby at this point? Why are we talking to Mary Cosby? Like,
I know all the gays on Twitter wanted Mary back. They're like, yes, we need her back. We need her iconic moments. And I had never felt that way. And even Reed mentions he didn't feel that way, but then he kind of got sucked into it because everyone, he's like,
gays.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Twitter gays. Literally. Twitter gays. Yep.
It's like how we do with Mona. Oh, maybe she wasn't that bad. And then they get on the screen and you're like, why did we want this back? She's intolerable. I can't believe how rude she is to the waitstaff. Like, she was rude a few episodes ago at the opera ski party, making him box up her pizza. And she was just rude. Like, if I had to serve her, I'd be talking shit to my coworkers.
Yeah. Well,
like, that girl at that table, go walk by. Go look at her.
I said this before, though. The thing about Ramona is that, like, at least she was friends with these women and willing to talk to them and have
conversations
and go film. Mary is having, like, it's like, okay, be annoying, be rude, whatever. But like the thing with Ramona, like, she's a fucking horrible person, but she, like, some of the other women actually like Ramona and like they're actually friends.
They have real friendships.
So that's like where the difference is, why it makes sense that Ramona was even on our screens. It makes no sense that Mary is on our screens. She doesn't even like Meredith. And that's her only quote friend. Like, it's just a joke.
And up
with that large Louis Vuitton makeup bag that she was carrying around as if it was a purse.
No, there's something so off about her. And the way there's something so off.
No, I know. It's off.
And I know, obviously, what we're watching is edited down to like minutes. But how long do you think she was at that lunch before she left?
I think that was filmed all the way through. No cuts.
We got the raw footage on that one.
That was raw footage. They were like, the editors were like, we can just clock out today. We didn't even have to edit it. She just walked right out of there. Okay, cool. Scene over.
Yeah.
And scene.
They have no path going forward. And I'm okay with it. But Whitney, like, wake the fuck up.
Well, I mean, you know what? I appreciate Whitney for trying. Mm-hmm. You could see on her face that she was like, do you really want to do this right now? Like, I'm trying to give you some relevance and some screen time. And you're really going to do this right now? Like, you're really going to leave? Like,
she's like, Mary, don't leave.
Whitney was like choking back laughter that entire time. Like, that was a joke. Literally. That
literally was a joke. They battled a snowstorm for that.
Oh, I have something to say about Whitney, though.
Say it.
Whitney is my bitch. And I have to say something. She is so fucking smart and cunty for having her husband come in to film that scene in the kitchen and just bringing up all their issues real quick on camera to make him be accountable. Like, she was like, oh, well, if I'm going to do this party, I'm going to really need you to help. Are you going to be willing to help? And he was like, yes, I will help. And she was like, oh, and one more thing. Did you schedule our therapy session? And he was like,
I'm going to do that right now.
I'll schedule it right now. I was like, oh, girl, if I had cameras around, that's what I'd be doing.
He's calling your husband in the room.
Hey, by the way, while everyone's here, did you do those dishes that I asked you to do? Like,
no, that's actually. Way,
remember how you said you're going to do laundry? Are you going right now? Like, and he'd be like grabbing the laundry and
see. At first, I thought it was a little calculated. So she has her little at home storyline, but maybe she's really just trying to get Justin to do some work around the house.
She's trying to get shit done, and she was being smart about it.
She's actually a genius.
Yeah,
a genius. We should all take notes.
Yes.
I need to talk about the Columbia reveal, mission reveal party with Jack.
These reveal parties be getting out of control, okay?
Like, what do you mean there's a mission reveal party?
What?
And she said on Watch What Happens Live she went to, like, 10 this year. Like, it's, like, the norm.
Wild.
What about the people that get, like, stationed in, like, Sacramento? And they have, like, a huge reveal party.
Well, where was hers at?
She never went on one, but her husband did.
Where was Jack's
John,
at?
John.
Jack.
John is the husband. Jack is the kid.
Yeah, where is Jack going?
Jack's going to Columbia. John went to Vegas.
Oh, what?
Yeah, that's what he said. He said he went to Vegas. This changes things.
That's so funny. Oh my
God. I just don't. So I grew up, let's talk about religion. I grew up Christian, non-denominational, but my church had mission trips.
Hipster.
My church had a rock band. It still does.
Did you wear a lazy beanie?
No, but I did wear jeans. It was cash. But our church had mission trips. I never went on one, but then my sister went to a Catholic high school and she went on a mission trip to Guatemala. But it's like a week or two long mission trip. They build something. Like, they're always like building something, either a house or like a community center, and then they leave. So I don't really like, is their mission, is he literally going door to door in Colombia trying to get people to convert to Mormon?
I think so. In like a short sleeve white shirt with a tie.
Like, I know it. Lisa Barlow probably said it was a little bit insensitive that he's probably going to be held up in gunpoint, but he's probably going to be held up at gunpoint. I mean, I would hold him up at gunpoint if someone comes knocking on my door trying to preach the Mormon church.
Honestly, that haircut alone, dead.
I mean, hello, look at his frosted tips. He's asking to be held up at gunpoint.
Literally, and I have to say something about that hair. Am I the only one that pause the fucking TV when they panned out to the whole group of the kids? Those hairstyles.
All the Mohawks are going to Columbia and preaching the Bible.
No, it was like a
it's like a flip in the front.
A Wolverine hairstyle. And I took a picture of it and I just want to know what's going on at Angie K's husband's salon.
Oh, he's putting in the work. Obviously too much to even have dinner.
He's getting business.
He's doing the hair.
These teenage boys are going over there, getting their hair flipped out and frosted tips. And you know what I thought was funny was that the girls were the only ones that had the sense to have their faces blurred out, but their hair looked fine. If I was the kids, I would have been having my face blurred out.
No, the men needed to blur out their faces because what is that hair? It's very like TikTok-y. Like, I feel like the boys, the little like 18-year-olds on TikTok have that hair.
Maybe I'm just old, but I don't like it.
It's not a good look. It's not good.
Yeah, but I will say, sorry, I have to go back to one thing from earlier.
Go back, girl.
Mary at that meal, that is very me, though. Like, when I'm ready to leave, I'm like, I'm going, but can I please have a to-go box for my food? Thank you.
Her food was not to-go-able. What is the word I'm looking for? Not like, it Packable? Did not... Yeah, it did not seem like it should be in a to-go box.
Well, I'm that bitch that I go to a bar with people, I go out to eat or whatever, and like I just kind of like hang out with them, and then like I kind of map it out, plan it out time-wise, and then like towards the end I'm like, okay, I'm going to leave probably in like 20 minutes. And then I flag down the waiter and I go, hi, can I get a spaghetti to go?
Not spaghetti to go.
And then I have the to go and I'm like, sorry guys, I have to get home. My food's going to get cold.
I got to leave. I got my food. No, that's genius. And that's obviously what Mary's plan was the entire time.
Yeah. She should have just ordered it to go when she sat the fuck down. Like, be real.
She like she knew she was not staying there.
Yeah. But that's it.
I'm glad we went back to that because I needed to know.
Well, that's maybe the only relatable thing that she's ever done for me.
Yeah, she's not. She's the opposite of relatable.
The opposite, except for when it comes to to-go food.
Literally. Okay. I am foaming at the mouth to talk about Monica and Monica's mom.
Yes. Yes.
So before the sit down, we have little nuggets of stuff throughout the episode.
A lot of nuggets. Yeah.
A lot of nuggets. So she goes on a little snowmobiling trip with Heather, which I thought was cute that they're getting together like on the side. Heather yeah. needs alliances. So smart of Heather.
Monica and Heather make a lot of sense together.
They do. And she reveals to Heather that her mom left her at 12 years old to go follow her dream in New York. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, check. Like, there's something wrong with Monica's mom and it makes sense that she abandoned her kid. And then
I moved to New York to follow my dream and I left my child back home, but I don't think that's that weird.
Okay, Kenny. I'm like, what child?
I don't remember.
Yeah, so long ago. You just dropped him off in Pennsylvania with random friend of. Like, it
that was so weird. That was like, so
they weren't
weird.
Even family.
I was Googling it because I was like, I don't believe this. Like, I did not believe the story. I thought it was made up. I was like, there's no fucking way. Like,
it doesn't make sense. What family is like, yeah, okay, you can drop your kid off here.
That's what I don't understand. Like, they have to be pretty close if they were to say yes to that. Like, I'm so confused.
My mom used to get annoyed when I'd have a girl stay the night for three nights in a row. She'd be like, Hannah's got to get home.
Yeah, Maddie, that's insane of you. Like, what the fuck? Is she homeless? Was Hannah homeless? Like,
no, we just had a lot of cheerleading practices. So we'd go from one cheerleading practice 3 days and then the other one.
It's concerning and it's weird. And that's why I literally Googled it. Cause I was like, I just don't know that I
did. You find answers on Google?
Well, no, I didn't.
You need to get on Reddit.
Because she apparently did have a lot of time in Pennsylvania. So if you Google like Monica in Pennsylvania, like she has a lot of, like she went to school there and like roots there, whatever. But then I didn't even have to keep on reading because at the end of the episode, her mom confirmed that that was in fact true.
Yeah. So we get that little nugget. And then for the women, Heather, Monica, Whitney, and Meredith go, what is it called? Ski something? Ski shoe?
What? Snowmobiling?
No. What did they do with the skis? They walked.
Oh, cross-country skiing.
Cross-country skiing. Oh, my God. That took me a while to get there. They went cross-country skiing.
You know what? It's like you cross-country skied there.
Okay, anyway, when they get there, we find out more facts about Monica. That her mom, they're like, oh, talk about your new Range Rover. And she's like, oh, it's a rental. Because my mom stole my car. And I do believe that Monica maybe doesn't have a lot to her name. So her mom was like, bought the car, but then Monica pays for it.
Like, surprised that her mom has more to her name, though. I'm surprised by that one.
Well, she didn't buy a Louis Vuitton bag. She has probably a lot of liquid.
She bought a fake Louis Vuitton scarf.
She did buy that. But her mom threatened to call the police and say the car was stolen if she did not give her car back. It's so dark, especially because I would get it if she, I wouldn't get it, but like if she's a young girl and doesn't have kids and doesn't have whatever, like my mom would be like, I'm taking your car away. You're grounded.
Yeah, you're grounded.
But like you are a grown adult. Your kids have to get to school. The fact that she had to rent a car is just, she's a bad mom. I'll say it.
Yeah.
And then we get to the ice break of it all, of them finally meeting for lunch or dinner. Anyway, they're at a Mexican restaurant.
Guacamole.
Having a dessert guacamole.
Yes.
Ooh, dessert.
Was it appetizers? Was it a meal? Was it dessert? We'll never know.
We'll never know. But they have the sit down and it is the most cringe sit down. Monica's mom wants a snowflake.
Yeah. What's going on with that? I'm disgusted by it. I'm so weirded out by this whole thing. I'm like, on one hand, I'm like, I don't really know anyone that came on this show and so quickly threw their mother under the bus like that. That being said, her mom has like welcomed it. Like her mom like came to this meal like knowing what they were going to talk about. So she's obviously like down for this.
That's exactly it. I don't know if she brought her on to like throw her under the bus or if her mom like lifted up the bus to be put under.
Yeah, her mom kind of seems like, let me help you. Like, let me help you.
Her mom is just, she wants a snowflake, she wants a paycheck, and she needs an aspirin because that's what she was looking for the entire lunch, an aspirin in her purse.
An aspirin. Yeah, I'm sure that's the drug that she was looking for.
She was all over the place. She first tries to guilt trip Monica by crying. Monica's like sitting stone face across the table, like, I'm not dealing with your crying. And then she kind of like starts yelling and manipulates her. That's another restaurant I don't want to be a waiter at. First, the waiter gets harassed by Mary Cosby. Now, this waiter is trying to just take their order and they're yelling across the table.
No, I would enjoy that actually as a waiter.
Just stand there and be like, oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, like when you're like waiting on a table and they just are having like an awkward conversation, you just keep on coming by at the wrong ass time. You're like, hi, can I refill your water? And they're like, bitch, I told you. Like,
I had a table the other day. As I'm walking up to drop off the bill, the girl's like, well, I'm sorry, you're -7 in your bank account. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to drop the bill next to that girl.
I would have been like, okay, so I guess I'm dropping it over here.
Yeah, I was literally like, and then a friend was like, did you hear that? I was like, it's okay. I'm probably in the same boat. I was like, I get it.
Like, so 50-50?
Yeah.
Just make it a full. Like 10 cards, I can split them evenly. I got it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. But just that situation in general just made me not feel, it made me feel really bad for Monica, but it made me think that like her mother needs to be like put in a home. She called her daughter a motherfucker.
In a home, but not put in a home.
Put in a home. She called her daughter a motherfucker. And then she said, did you just call me a fucker? And she said, no, I called you a motherfucker.
Motherfucker over.
Motherfucker over. Like that is.
I don't know. Maddie, I don't know how I feel because I feel like, listen.
You think it's all fake?
I don't think it's all fake necessarily, but I think that honestly, like, that's not a good mom, but also not a good daughter. Like, I just feel like their relationship is very toxic.
Very toxic.
And much like, you know, a couple that's toxic, like, they're both just really wrong. And it's just wrong. I don't think I don't think any of it's right. I think it's wrong.
I'm going to kind of like go back at that because when you're raised in a household where you don't learn how to like,
You
don't have a good parent figure. How is Monica meant to act?
That's what I'm saying. It's a cycle. It's because it's like, when you're abused, then you abuse them back. And then it kind of is enlightening to see, you know, on that trip, to Trixie Motel, when Monica was, in my opinion, acting a little out of pocket, being a little weird and kind of going off unnecessarily, like it kind of explains that behavior too. It's like, I think this is going to be a pattern for Monica. I think that Monica is giving it right back to her mom and then also putting that onto other people as well. I feel like she has not learned communication.
Conflict resolution. They don't have it.
And like some people have parents like this. And I mean, for me, like, I had like a really toxic father. I don't talk to him anymore. Like I just don't
cut him out.
I don't even fuck with that because I don't like drama. Like I'm just like, I'm done with it. So it's like, you could choose that. Instead, you're doing the exact opposite. You're like, I'm going to fuck with the drama and on TV and bring it up more. Like it's just not the best choice in my opinion.
They both need to be in therapy.
At the very least. Yes.
Like they need to get it together. And I'm wondering if this show is going to make it worse. It obviously already is, but I just don't, it's hard. Cause I'm like, I don't see a path forward in this. It's almost sad to watch. Like it gets it's a little dark in a way.
Well, but at the same time, it's like whatever they want, like money wise, like they gonna get, because I could see Andy bringing her out on the reunion and giving her money for that. Like,
True. I mean, he brought out Mama Joyce before.
Yeah. Like she's going to have a seat at the reunion, I think.
Yeah. She's going to be right on the end of the couch.
She's a friend of.
She's doing more than Mary.
At least
your lunch scene was longer than Mary's.
She finishes a conversation at a table.
Yeah, like exactly. At least they sat through and had their dessert guacamole.
Yeah. They got to dessert. Yes.
Yeah. Anything else on the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Annie? Are we missing anything?
I think we got it.
I think we did. All right, guys, buckle up. We have part two of the Real Housewives of New York reunion.
Just so Bobby from Cumberland, Maryland said, you told the women you lived off your savings while trying to make it in fashion. Who has savings at 20 years old? Where did you get savings? Doesn't that say privilege right there?
I worked at college and I had savings. I mean, and by the way, savings could be $5,000 or it could mean $10,000. It doesn't mean a trust fund, that's for sure.
He's not living off $5,000 in New York City, girl.
Having a savings account and having college paid for it.
I'm just saying, listen, my parents started from scratch in England.
I totally get that. My dad started from scratch in Israel and had no money and came here with $5. But did you grow up poor? I'm just wondering.
We grew up comfortable, but certainly not lavish. And privilege or no privilege.
Thank you.
No, but privilege or no privilege, Erin, I shouldn't be made to feel shamed of how I grew up.
How would I be making you feel ashamed?
I'm just saying.
Well, you're picking apart her backstory.
Right. I'm not. She's saying she grew up with nothing.
We had a very simple upbringing. While you were at the ballet with Brad Pitt and Gwyneth, I was delivering newspapers with my mother, okay?
All right. I said buckle up because I don't know where this recap is going to go because I was asleep half the reunion. So I did fall asleep watching it. I will say that.
Not surprised. The end of this season and the reunion just wasn't it, you know?
No, it almost felt too therapy session for me. It was a lot of talking about like their past and kind of how they are the way they are, which I like that they're like realizing it. But even Sai said this was the first time she's done therapy ever. And I'm like, oh, right. I just don't want to watch that.
Yeah. And Andy Cohen is your therapist. I mean, love him to death, but I don't know if that's
maybe you should see a real therapist, girl. She actually does need one.
I actually it was kind of, honestly, I will say it was kind of heartwarming to see her kind of realize some shit and talk through it and admit some stuff. And you could see the other faces of the other women, like kind of being like, oh, wow, that was impressive that you acknowledged that. I almost think that might have kind of secured her for another season.
I think so too.
I thought it was nice, actually. But other than that, yeah, it wasn't super juicy. I did think it was one thing about the reunions in general that I've noticed, I think has kind of gone down a little bit, is I think they need to prepare like more clips ahead of time to have ready for the women to watch.
You've mentioned this before. It was a podcast I wasn't on, but you talked about it and I could not agree more. Back in the day, you didn't just watch a clip package on the person. Like that's all they show nowadays. They're like, oh, let's get into what Erin went through. And it's her entire clip package. I want to go back to the Jersey days where it was Melissa and Joe talking shit about Teresa and Andy was playing and everyone had to watch and then Real Feelings came out.
Yes.
Because a lot of these women, and Brynn even admitted, she did not watch the season. She watched clips here and there, but she didn't watch the season.
Yeah.
But I think that's normal. Like Teresa says she never really watched her seasons before. Ramona's never watched. So they need these little clips of the people talking shit, the ones that maybe they didn't see on Instagram before, because how else are we going to get those feelings?
That's true. Actually, you know what? You're right. I actually don't even blame them if they don't want to watch it. I mean, myself, I probably would be like really critical of myself. So I probably wouldn't even like want
to
watch.
I would have to go to like a doctor for plastic surgery if I watched myself on TV for that long.
100%. So actually don't mind if they don't want to personally watch, like I get it. But that's why you have to have, the packages you mentioned are kind of like very intro level, like of like, oh, here's this kind of basic intro to like what Erin went through, like you said. I know that it's not as easy said and done as like having, you can't just, when people say, oh, I never said that, roll back the tapes. Like it's not just ready. Like when we see the clips later, they show us.
Yes.
Someone has gone back, watched the reunion, gotten those clips, edited it, all that kind of stuff. Like, I know it's not that easy, but it doesn't take like a rocket scientist to like understand that maybe Jessel and, maybe Erin and Sai were going to deny implying that Pavitt was cheating. Like, have that queued up and prepared.
Well, even Andy has questions that he's going to ask. Yeah. So he knows the basis of what the questions are. Find clips that back up those questions.
Yeah. And make them watch it, because there's really no accountability. Even if they have seen it, like, they're not forced to watch it right there and then see that and be like, well, yeah, that was pretty damning. I did say that. I can see how you would take it that way. Even if they decide to double down and just like be delusional and lie, at least we watch them watch it so we can like see
their like emotions.
I want to see, I love it when they have the little, when they show like a, like, you know,
yes,
a flashback, and then they have little picture in picture
of them watching it
and watching someone like cringe at their own behavior. There's nothing better.
Well, and they do it on Southern Charm, Summer House. They do it on Vanderpump Rules. Why aren't they doing it with Housewives anymore?
Well, they do it to a certain extent on every single reunion, but I just think that like, it's just gone down, the amount of how much they do it, how often they do it. They need to do it more. It's my favorite part.
What brings out the drama, because like, these were all, the season was filmed months and months ago. These people have, most of them have talked to each other since then, have kind of went like, okay, let's go into the reunion and we can hash things out, but we're friends. If they see those little clips, it'll at least give us something more exciting to watch. I don't need an hour-long therapy session with Andy Cohen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what? And Andy's like pretty good about holding people accountable, but like not all the time. And it really honestly should not be on him. Like Jessel saying, did you not watch? Like, are you serious? You didn't see that you implied that. And Aaron and Cy both being so adamant that they didn't, like, that was really annoying. There should have just been a clip to play, like just to show you like, yes, you fucking did. There you go.
Damn. Exactly. Yeah. I definitely missed that part of the reunions, 'cause again, it adds a little bit more to the drama. And for reunions anyway, there's nothing ever that's, to me at least, it's not that crazy. Like, reunions are kind of like, meh, we got to talk about some of the drama. I like when it's a crazy season like Vanderpump Rules and we get to kind of watch back and kind of get commentary on stuff that we now know. But a lot of times with Housewives, it's just a recap of what we've been watching for 6 months.
I think it would be explosive if they did that, though.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, yeah, they need to do more of that. It's for me, it's like a must have. They need to pick it back up. But talking about Jessel, I do completely feel for her in the way that when you're talking to somebody and trying to kind of connect with them, relate to them and their experiences, like it's a very fine line, I think, between like trying to connect with somebody and be there for them and relate to them. And then where is the line when it becomes like, oh, I'm making it about myself. You know,
I
think that's a really hard, I could see her intention was really good. And she did that a lot on accident and then said that she was like stealing focus or trying to compare herself. And it's like, no, I'm just trying to say like, I get it. I get what you're saying. I don't want you to feel alone. I've been through something somewhat similar. Like, you're not alone. You know, it's like, I've done that before. And I think there's probably been times in my life where maybe I've taken it too far to a point where it seemed like something that it wasn't, but I was just trying to like
relate,
bond with someone, you know? Like, and
they call it trauma bonding for a reason.
Yeah.
Trauma bonding is a real thing.
It is a real thing. And I think, like I said, there's a very fine line and what annoys people and what doesn't. I think everyone's line is very different too. Some people really appreciate that. And some people are like, please shut up. Let me have my moment. You know,
And I think it has to go with like how they were raised. And I think when Cy kind of talked about a little bit more of her personal life and kind of her hard upbringing, she has a lot of healing to do. I don't think this girl's anywhere close to being healed. And I think it shows when she has her like quick outburst, even at the finale party, when she was like, it wasn't on fucking camera. Like, she's not healed.
Yeah.
That girl needs real therapy without Andy Cohen.
Yeah. But, and she admitted a lot of it and I thought that was good. But I mean, also just going back to Jessel about like, Aaron brought up a good point. Having an internship is a privilege. I work in fashion, and there's a lot of jobs that I want to do, could do. I live in New York. You'd think it would be accessible. Most of these jobs, you have to do a lot of free interning for.
And it's all about like who you know, and it's not about experience or anything like that.
Totally. A, who you know, and B, do you have enough in your savings account to be able to...
You can have an unpaid internship.
Yeah. I mean, I know people that are very good at what they do and they had to do multiple unpaid internships before they even got to a point where they had an actual job. And then they got all these opportunities, but it's like, can you even afford to take 6 months of an unpaid internship, or even it's not unpaid, but like Devil Wears Prada, like even that dream job she got was like, she's getting paid next to nothing and she's having to work
compared
like
to what she's doing.
Yeah. 12 hours a day. Like, can you even afford to do that? You can't if you don't have money in your bank account. And so it is a very privileged type of industry where, you know, some people just get it from just knowing the right person and having a lot of money, period. It's true.
I do think Jessel, like, trying to compare, it's a little bit hard comparing. Obviously, I said this in a group chat earlier to like read. I think it was last week. I said, comparison is a thief of joy. And it's so true.
I was on that group chat. I love that quote.
It is so true. You don't need to compare yourself to Sai. You might have had a hard upbringing. It's just a different level of hard. My upbringing was hard, but it's not going to be. My mom didn't have food stamps. My dad just died and then she had to learn how to work. You know, it's just. You can't compare because you never know what people go through. And it might have been hard for her being like a family of an immigrant, but internship is a privilege.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, it goes both ways. It's like they were accusing her of comparing, but then they're comparing right back. And it's just like, just stop comparing, period. Yeah. Like, all of you, just stop. I mean,
I just almost feel like with the season of New York, they wanted to be so different than the last people. And if you look at the last season, you have a countess, you have a Morgan, like you have these high society people, everyone, even though Ramona did work, she still like came from money and had, I mean, she worked, but anyway,
well, I mean,
Bethany was probably the one that didn't have any money to begin with.
Yeah.
I'm putting in quotes, the poorest.
Yeah, she was the poorest to start off with. I think Ramona kind of came from nothing too, but that, again, this is the whole comparison is a thief of joy. Cause it's like, I have been very vocal about the fact that I did not agree with the ideology of this reboot. Mm-hmm. I was kind of not agreeing. I'm not even saying they should have kept everyone from before, but I have said that I thought there was a better way they could kind of do this transition. That being said, once it started, I had a clean slate in my mind. I was very open-minded. I'm never going into something like wanting to dislike it. I was hoping to love it. I'm ready to go, like bright-eyed, whatever, new lens. I was never comparing it. We can't compare it. There's no comparison. But
I think women wanted to be so different, and they wanted to be so different than the originals that they had to be like, I'm not a countess. I'm not a Morgan. I came from nothing. Yeah. I had hardships. Like, yeah. I think they wanted to be totally different than them. And so that's why they focused so hard of like how they grew up or living in certain neighborhoods. And that's why I feel like it kind of fell flat for me. Like, they just harped on it a little too long.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it doesn't really kind of matter. At the end of the day, if you have like a good chemistry with your castmates and you guys form real friendships, and then there's real drama. So that's all that really matters. And you're right. They just talked about all this other shit, like way too much. Like, I think that we felt hopeful the first half of the season. And then about around when Uba got mad about her cell phone, we were like, is this all it is? Like,
yeah.
I don't want Uba back. How do you feel?
I want her back.
You do?
Yeah, I want her back.
I don't.
I think aren't you the person who says every housewife deserves two seasons?
So yes.
Take it.
Yes, I do say that, but this is one of the few instances where I really don't think that I just think that she's done. Like, I don't know. I'm not into it.
I think she's just kind of all over the place, and I like to see that. Even at the reunion, I said this last week, she was kind of pulling stuff out of nothing and everyone was like, oh my God, she's so annoying. And I'm like, at least she's doing something. Everyone else is just on the couch crying.
I don't know. She's kind of a lot of nothing to me.
I think she's just not good at it. She's not calculated enough. She's
trying too hard.
She reminds me of Whitney's first season, like just kind of like pulling shit out of nowhere that doesn't really.
Whitney's my girl.
But Whitney grew a lot. Like now she's a good bone collector, but if she wasn't at first, I mean, hello, last season with the Jazz tickets, she was so bad at like coming out with that. It was just very messy. I feel like Uba can get her footing.
I don't know. I feel like she's confused about her place in this show. I feel like she's confused about her friendships. I feel like she's confused about what she's doing here. I feel like she's just not making a lot of sense. I feel like she's like that scene in Old Roni where Alex McCord comes down the stairs and Kelly Ben Simmons is like, stop, you're being weird. You're being inauthentic. Go back up the stairs and come back down and re-enter.
You're being weird, Alex. You're being weird. Cover your shoulders. We're in Marrakesh. Yeah. That is one of my favorite things. Cover your shoulders. We're in Marrakesh.
Yeah. It's kind of like a little Uber. And I'm like, you're being weird. Go back up the stairs and re-enter. Like, something's off.
But maybe a second season will do her good. I feel like we didn't get to see a lot of her personal storyline. We saw clips of her apartment. True. And now she has a man that she's parading around. I mean, I would rather have Uba back than Jenna.
I mean,
I want them all back. But
let me say this. I won't be mad if they all come back, I guess. Like, because you're right. I've always said that second season, because you never know. But like, I just would say out of all of them, she's the only one.
The one that you'd want.
But I wouldn't be mad if she wasn't back, I guess. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. But,
even though I don't enjoy watching Sai, we need her because we need the villain.
Me too. She's the villain. And yeah. She owns it.
I mean, I'm excited to see like what comes out this weekend at BravoCon with the film ladies. I guess Jenna isn't even going to BravoCon, so maybe that's kind of her.
Thanks.
I mean, Mary's not going either, but Mary wasn't invited. Did you see that?
I did not see that.
So somebody commented, I don't know if it was on her page or she was just tagged in it on Instagram. And they're like, oh, when are you going to be at BravoCon, Mary? And she said, wasn't invited. She just commented back and said, wasn't invited.
She shouldn't be. Did you see her watch What Happens Live? It was a mess.
It was a mess.
She can't talk. Well, I feel like Uba's a little similar. Like when you really have people sit down in a chair and have to answer questions, they kind of show that if they can't really like put a thought together and like answer a question. And like that a little bit was Uba to me. She was just all over the place. It was wild, but you know.
It was all over the place. Anyway, I do think I'm glad the season's over. It dragged out a little bit long. I'm glad it was only a two-part reunion. I'm glad we're doing that now. We did it with Atlanta. We're doing it here. I don't think we always need three parts.
I could barely bring myself to care about two parts, quite frankly. So
yeah, I would have been fine with one part.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
So that is our recap on Roni. Okay, guys. Well, thanks for hanging with us girlies today. Little girly pop combo me and Annie had. Thank you guys for listening. You guys know where to find us, about_Bravo. I do want to gas up our Patreon a little bit. Me and Reed had a new episode that came out this week on Big Brother. We've recently recapped Love is Blind. Annie and Reed did that. We had a Southern Charm Patreon. So if you guys would, please subscribe to our About Bravo Patreon. There is a really cool Discord on Patreon that we just kind of are figuring out. People can comment and like on the video or the podcast. So it's really cool to kind of get a little bit niche with our community. So make sure you're subscribed. Follow along on our Instagram and socials this week. Again, guys, about_Bravo, just because we are going to be boots on the ground in Vegas. And if anybody has like a little extra ticket, slide into Reed's DMs or slide into Reed's DMs anyway, if you just want to chat. Anyway, guys, thanks so much for listening. Bye.